for the weeks of Advent, we've been trying to enter into the story. We've been trying to enter into the story of the people who experienced that first Christmas. The first Sunday, we looked at this old priest called Zechariah. And Zechariah is in the temple, he's in the Holy of Holies, and the angel Gabriel shows up, and he says to Gabriel, "Your prayer has been heard." What was Gabriel thinking? How did, well, we know, I mean, it's written there in Luke, Gabriel actually didn't believe, and he became silent. Last week, I heard you had a visitor. Joseph showed up. And Joseph, for just a few minutes last week, we got to walk in his sandals and experience the news that his wife-to-be is pregnant, and it's not his child. Today, we're going to look at Mary. I picked that video because they tell the Christmas story more in a modern term. But there were shepherds, there were wise men. I would encourage you as your pastor to go read Matthew chapter 1, go read Luke chapter 1 and 2, and read the stories again. You only have, 12 days to Christmas now, or a little bit less. Yeah. So read the stories, and I would encourage you to enter into the story. Enter into the story. We're going to read Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. Before we do, let us pray. Lord God Almighty, let us not be like Stuart and miss it. Miss it maybe even in our own home. Miss the greatest, the most magnificent, the most glorious event this world would ever experience, Emmanuel, God with us. Let our ears be open, let our hearts be receptive, let our hands and feet be ready to serve Emmanuel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Seven little verses today. Luke 1, 39 through 45. And at that time, Mary got ready and hurried into the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." To be honest with you, I keep all my sermons on the computer, and I have them by the year, and I think I've said before, C.H. Spurgeon said, you know, keep your sermons and read over them so you can weep over them. Well, I read my sermons over again, and I went to look to see if I've ever preached on this passage in 20 years in ministry. And I've never tried to tackle these seven verses. And I thought, that's really amazing. Why? Why did I always skip over this part of the story? Now, I went to some of the commentaries, and I started looking for what other commentators said about this, and it's interesting. Some commentators just go right over it. But as I study for my passage, I sit and read the passage every day. and I stop and write on some of the words. And I started to enter into that story of Mary. Now, we know the story, or at least I think you know the story of Mary. She gets visited by Gabriel too. And she gets told that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon her and she's going to be with child. And her response, I put it up there, her response is in verse 39, which we didn't read. Well, it says, Mary got ready and hurried to the town in the hill country. But her response is that she says, let's back up. I must not have put it on there. Okay. Her response is from the angel says, for nothing is impossible with God. That's in verse 37. For nothing is impossible. And then she says, and Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Verse 38. She gets this news. She's probably a teenage girl. She gets this news that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon her and the child within her will be the Messiah. And the angel says, nothing is impossible with God. We saw the man there that says, I deal with impossibilities. Do we believe that? Do we believe that nothing is impossible with God? What struck me was after she says, behold, I am the servant of the Lord, let it be according to your word. And then verse 39, this little story. And what struck me in verse 39, it says, and at that time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. Now, Mary is just probably just beginning her pregnancy, but her sister Elizabeth, the angel told her that her sister Elizabeth, or her cousin Elizabeth, is pregnant. And Elizabeth is, we know, probably in her 80s. So she, it says, she got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. Now, we don't know the town. It's not named, but we do know where the hill country of Judea is. It's about 90 miles away. And she didn't stop and do some shopping. She didn't stop at the Quick Mart. She didn't stop and see friends along the way. This teenage girl starts on a 3 to 4 day journey. And she went quickly. Actually, the Greek word quickly means she went without haste. She went as rapidly as she could go, as her feet would take her, to travel walking 90 miles. Now see, we skip over that. That here's this teenage, pregnant, young girl filled with the Holy Spirit, probably running, walking, on her way to see her cousin, to see, probably, if what the angel told her was true. I wonder what it would be like for us, as I read that, for us to become pregnant. Now, some of the women here have had that opportunity. But what would it be like for us to be pregnant, expectant with hope and love and joy and peace as we light these candles? I wonder, as I read this passage, I stopped on that passage. I wonder if we would run. I wonder, I guess, I'll make it personal. The Holy Spirit speaks to me a lot of times, and I think the Holy Spirit speaks to you a lot. And maybe you go, is that the Holy Spirit or is it not the Holy Spirit? Does he really want me to go and do this? And sometimes we don't listen. And I can tell you there's times like the Holy Spirit will say, why don't you call this person, or why don't you go visit this person, or why don't you do this? And I'm going, why me? Why not Al? Why not Bob? Why not Deborah? God, can't you get someone else to go do this? Oh, I know you're not like me, right? But Mary, her response was, I'm your servant. I'm your servant. Let it be according to your word. And then she gets ready and she quickly goes on a 90-mile journey. We have a hard time going across the street to our neighbor's house when the Holy Spirit says, go see your neighbor because the ambulance was over there. And she goes 90 miles. We have a hard time stopping in line to talk to someone at the grocery store. And it's not 90 miles. I read and reread that one verse, and it struck with me this week. This week, I talked to a man, and he's not from around here. I do some pastoral counseling by the internet, and it's a friend. And this was his exact question. Why me, God? Why me? Why me, God? Now, I have that question at times, and I'm your pastor. My guess is you probably have that question at times. And so I said, I think that many times we all get stuck with would've, could've, should've situations in our lives. I'll be really funny here since we're on joy, but someone said, how do I get my prayer language? I just say, woulda, coulda, shoulda, bought a Honda. And start praying that over and over again. But you get your prayer language by spending time with the Holy Spirit. But we get stuck with the would-haves, could-haves, should-haves, and we don't move. I said we allow speculation to cause us to become stagnant. We allow fear to freeze us in our tracks. We allow doubt to drive us down into Depression Avenue. I wonder, you know, all it said was Mary got this visit by an angel, and the angel said, you're going to be with child, and your cousin Elizabeth is with child, and nothing is impossible with God. Luke 1:36. If you want to memorize a verse, Luke 1:36. Nothing is impossible with God. God deals in the impossibilities. And her response is, I'm your servant. Let it be according to your word. And then verse 39. And Mary got ready, and she hurried on to the town in the hill country of Judea. What is amazing to me as I read that is Mary didn't stop at Depression Avenue. She didn't allow the would've, could've, should'ves to stop her. She took off running in the direction that God was calling her to run. I wonder, I know I fail at that. And maybe that you're hearing my own message to me. It says that she went with eagerness. And as I studied this passage, I was amazed with her response. And the second thing that I learned in this passage is joy. And we light the candle of joy. Joy, I'm going to read a definition from Rick Warren in one of his books. He says, joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of the details. I think it's up there. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life, the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. And the joy is the determined choice I make to praise God in every situation. I encourage you to take these Advent stories and not let them just be Advent stories once a year. These are real people with real life situations. And their lives are interrupted. Their lives are changed forever. Joy is a little three-letter word. And I went to the internet. I looked up, what are the top 10 songs with joy in it? And of course, joy to the world and different singers. And then the top 25, that must have been at least 8 or 9 of them with different singers. And then there's that, I got the joy down in my heart is in there. What comes to your mind when you hear joy? It's three letters, J-O-Y, and I'm sure you've seen this, Jesus, others, and you. My friend who just passed away, he always he was a life coach, and he said, in his words, he challenged everybody he met and all the life coaching he did. He would always ask them, what's your passion? What's your passion? I change my word. I say, what brings you your greatest joy? What brings you your greatest joy? I think it was Augustine that said, where your greatest joy is where the world's greatest need is. What is your greatest joy? What will get you up in the morning other than a cup of coffee? Mary was joyful in her journey. And so I wrote in my journal these words, am I joyful in my journey? It's in my journal. So I'm just giving you my journal note. Am I joyful in my journey of life? Do I get stuck by the would have, could have, should haves? Do I allow speculation to cause stagnation? Do I allow my doubt to overwhelm me? As I mentioned earlier, we took 15 people, I think it was, last Wednesday, and we took, I think, 10 people on Monday. And we worked at the warehouse. It's a big warehouse. Some of you, raise your hand if you went. Some of you are here, went. And was it a joyful experience? I mean, we were on our feet for 4 hours. We were unpacking and packing and taping and scanning and boxing and lifting the boxes onto roller carts and sending them off to trucks. And we worked for 4 hours, but I'll tell you, it was some of the greatest joy that was ever experienced. Now, I got accused of not working, but I did work. But I trash talk, she says. But it was one of the greatest joys that we had. But as I was working for those 4 hour stints, what really struck my heart is the joy a child will have when they open that box. I mean, they're going to get little trinkets. They're going to get little things in their lives. As I was working on this word joy, I love the Old Testament, and Nehemiah is a favorite book of mine. You may not know the book of Nehemiah, but Nehemiah is called back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. And he has these adversaries, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, and they are trying to stop the rebuilding of the wall. We could say it's doubt, fear, guilt, shame, would have, could have, should have. And they're trying to stop Nehemiah from rebuilding the wall. And I put the verse up there, but he says, do not grieve anymore. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. I memorized that verse when I start getting stuck on stagnation. When I allow doubt to drive me to the depression avenue, or fear to freeze me. I know you don't have those problems, but I think we all get stuck on the would've, could've, should've. And I say to myself, the joy of the Lord is my strength. We don't face anything like Nehemiah was facing when they're trying to lift up blocks and rebuild a wall so that their city can be saved. But maybe we do. Maybe we do. Every Sunday we unload a trailer and we take the stuff out and we put the speakers up and we put the soundboard up and we put coffee tables up, and at the end of the service people gather and store everything back up. And it's only done because the joy of the Lord is our strength. When they finished building the temple in Nehemiah 12, they had a dedication, a celebration. And these are the words that they said. And on that day, they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and children also rejoiced, and the sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. What a powerful thought, that the joy or the rejoicing could be heard far away. When Mary walked into Elizabeth's house, we're told that the first person to acknowledge the Messiah is a baby that's still in the womb. Now grasp your mind around this. A six-month-old baby in the womb leaps for joy. Now, if you've been pregnant, and you probably have felt your child move in your womb, but we're told there that the child leapt for joy, and Elizabeth is joyful. And I tried to enter into the story. I think Zechariah, because he can't speak, is sitting over in the corner laughing too, because Mary is here and the story is being proclaimed and fulfilled. The book of Philippians in the New Testament is called the Book of Joy. And I love Paul. He writes this opening letter, and he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray in joy. So my question is, do we pray in joy? No. In my journal, I wrote, do I pray in joy? And a lot of times, it's hard. Don Eddy and Bobby Hughes, and neither one of them are here, made these little prayer crosses, and we've handed tons of them out. They're little handheld prayer crosses. I have mine on my desk. When I pray, I hold it. Jack has hers. There's many nights that she'll fall asleep holding her prayer cross, praying, I want you to know that I pray for you. I pray for the joy of the Lord to be your strength. I don't know everything that you're going through. I don't know the would've, could've, should'ves that seem to stop you. When Paul wrote that letter, he was in prison. He was chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day. And he writes, every time I think of you, I pray with joy for you. Mary said, here I am. I'm your servant. Let it be according to your word. The last thing that struck me in this passage this week was the very last verse. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. I stopped this week in that passage, not right there, and I wrote, do I believe? And then I wrote, do you believe? Do you believe what the Holy Spirit is saying to you? Do you believe that God will accomplish all those things that have been spoken to your heart? You see, this story, Mary's story, is our story. Maybe the Holy Spirit wants to impregnate you with love or joy or peace or hope. But the challenge of that is in verse 45. It says that she believed. She believed. She believed that what the Lord has said would be accomplished. So your homework, go back. Your homework this week, and I know you're busy. I know you're really busy. I know we're busy people. I know it's hard for us to just slow down. Practice joy, Jesus, others, and you. Practice listening and obeying the Lord with great joy, with great eagerness, and great haste, and great excitement. Nehemiah says, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy. My challenge to you this week is to enter into the stories, enter into the Advent stories. Zechariah is your story. Elizabeth is your story. Joseph is your story. Mary is your story. But the story above all stories is Jesus. Emmanuel. God is with us. Practice some joy this week. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just are so overwhelmed at times with activities and sometimes with fear and doubt and guilt and shame and the would've, could've, should've's. Lord, fill us with joy. And let the joy of Jesus be our strength. Let us not become frozen in our fear. Let us not become stagnant in our speculations. Let us look to you, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, and the joy that only comes from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.